even at this time of winter, Christmas, when colds and allergies hit us, or maybe even the Christmas blues can come along, we're aware we do have a lot to rejoice in and give thanks to God. Amen? Amen. I pray we can grow even more in that awareness today. We're talking about the lights of Christmas, and last week we had the children's program. I did my star with that light, and now that's above my manger scene at my house. And we just love having that shine up there and be a part of that. And I would imagine that most of us have put up some kind of light somewhere at Christmas. There used to be a tradition, maybe you followed it, of putting a candle, and a lot of days we switched it to battery-operated candle-shaped lights, putting a candle in the window, right? And there we would have that there as a reminder that Jesus was the light of the world and our light, and also a reminder to welcome home those that we missed. There's so many ways that light factors in to Christmas for us. The lights of trees, the lights of our candles, the lights that come around our table. And today, we want to talk a little more about this light of Jesus that is coming into the world and was predicted of coming and, of course, has come to us. You hear in the Isaiah reading this joy that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. I know for many people, this is a tough time of year. This is a time of year when they're thinking, whether it's the first year or it's 15 years, doesn't really matter. They think of the ones that have gone from this life already to be in God's inapproachable light in heaven, and they miss them. They miss them, and they just feel that sense of gloom and sadness. You know, I wish I had my mom, my sister, my loved one, my spouse, here with me, how we used to celebrate the holidays. And so many memories come back to us. And here we have this promise of God that in the midst of the gloom that's there, the anguish we sometimes experience, that God promises that for us even, a great light shines. A light that overcomes the darkness, a light that shines on us. It doesn't mean that suddenly that all the sad feelings, all the, you know, the difficult feelings, the memories, they all just fade away. But what it means is in the midst of the sadness, in the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of some of that gloom we feel, at least we know we're not alone. We know His light is there shining on us. His light and His living presence are there with us. And it's that same idea, that picture of what heaven is like, of course. That the idea that we heard in Revelation, as Milton read for us, that there doesn't ever have to be a sun or moon shining there anymore. We had the, I think if I understood right, the largest full moon of the year was just here on 12/12, and God even made sure to arrange it so that it was at its absolute fullest at 12/12. You know, it's kind of nice how God works all of that stuff out. It makes the number science, you know, people of us kind of geek out a little bit. But there isn't going to be a need for a moon to shine. Friday night, I mean, maybe you saw it. Wasn't that just about the biggest full moon you have ever seen when it was down by the horizon? We're not going to need the moon to shine at night. We're not going to need the sun to shine in the daytime, because when we are in heaven, there is just this glow, this light all around us that God will cast, that God will cause, that God is. Not a single shadow, not a moment of night, nothing there that we have to worry about or be afraid of. For there won't be anything or anyone unclean ever allowed in, and the gates never even have to shut for fear of whatever it is that's outside there, we're told in this scripture. It might be a little bit of a make us squirm a bit and be uncomfortable reading, nothing unclean will ever enter heaven, nor will anyone who does what is detestable or false. I've told a fib or two in my life. Right? I've done some things that I find now looking back on them detestable, and I know that's not up to God's standard. How does that work? Well, it works because the light of His grace shines on us. And the light that Jesus came to be came to overcome all of the darkness, not just the darkness out there in the world of sin and evil and the wrongdoings of other human beings, but for us. He came to push out the darkness from inside of us. He came to make his grace overcome any of the falsehoods or anything that is unclean in us. His light, his grace, shone on the cross and then confirmed through his resurrection, that grace of Jesus Christ overcomes all. No darkness, no falsehood, nothing detestable, nothing unclean, just his light. That's his promise. That's the reality that is waiting for us there. In the meantime, though, we find ourselves here. We find ourselves, like Mary, kind of confused a bit. Like, I have this news, but I don't know how it all works. Right? She's told this news from the angel. You are going to bear a son. You're going to bear the Son of God. And she finds this greeting from the angel troubling. You know, and I suppose if an angel just showed up in our bedroom and said to you, "Greetings, O favored one," we'd probably be a little troubled too. Right? We might wonder, wow, what did I do now? Right? Or, you know, what's going to happen next? And so Mary's reaction is very understandable. The angel goes on to comfort her and remind her not to be afraid in verse 30. And we hear that ourselves. Don't be afraid. And notice how he calls, first it says, you who are favored by the Lord. But this time when he says, don't be afraid, he calls her by name. Do you know that God has called you by name? He knows you by name. In fact, it even says that God has a secret name for us. The book of Revelation tells us that when we get there, a pet name for us, if you will, that only God knows will be revealed about us. But he knows all 7 billion of us by name. I think that's fascinating. You know, so when you get up there into heaven, whether your nickname to God is Sweet Cheeks or Schnookums or whatever it is, he's going to, you know, do that name to you. And, of course, there won't be any fear for us then. But it's here and now that he calls us by name. He calms us down. Hey, Mary. Hey, Jerry. Hey, Bob. Hey, Helen. It's okay. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God, not because of our shining resumes, but because of Jesus' perfect life and death and resurrection. You have found favor with God because he chooses to reveal himself to you and show his grace to you. We found favor with God because his light, the light of Jesus, shines in us. And Mary hears that whole story of how he will be great and how he will reign and how his kingdom will have no end. And those same words are captured for us. Mary asks a question. You know, earlier in this same chapter, Zechariah is in the temple praying. He gets visited by the same angel. He gets told that his child, who is to be born, is going to do great things in the kingdom of God. In fact, his child's going to be John the Baptist, who will smooth the way for Jesus to come and for his preaching. The first prophet in 400 years is John the Baptist that makes the way for Jesus the Messiah. And when Zechariah hears the angel, he scratches his head a little bit. You know, I'm in my 80s. My wife is in her 70s. How can I be sure what you say is true? You can picture someone doubting that. When he does, of course, the angel reminds him, I'm Gabriel. I'm from the very throne of God. And he has an answer for him, a reminder for him that God indeed can be trusted. The angel bringing God's word can be trusted. Mary asks a different question. Mary does not ask, hey, you know, how can I be sure? I doubt you. Mary instead asks, how is it going to happen? It's a very legitimate thing for us to ask, hey, God, how are you going to work out this situation here? Not, you know, do I doubt that God can work it out, but how are you going to work it out? It's very legitimate for us to, like Mary, ask and say, you know, I've never seen that happen before. You know, last I heard, the number of virgins who have given birth to children is zero. So, you know, how is that going to happen? And God comes and answers that question, that his light will overshadow you and will place that baby inside your womb. it's okay for us to ask, God, how is it going to happen? How are you going to do it? How is a different question than, can I really be sure? And this light that is going to come and overshadow her, this one to be born of her being called holy, is the gift to all of us. Now, Mary's response, I think, is also a gift from God for all of us as well. After she hears all of this, after the angel tells about the gift and even tells the how to answer her question, she says, may it be done to me as you have said. What a great way for all of us as Christians to answer God. God guides us in his word to shine our lights. We talk about that on the Wednesday nights, and we'll continue to do so. May it be to me as you have said. God, may I receive the grace that you have promised through Jesus. May I experience the light that you give to drive out the darkness and to guide me through all of the complexities of life. May it be to me as you have said, Lord, and may I have your peace in the face of uncertain circumstances. May it be to me as you have said. This is Mary's answer to the angel, and I pray it'll be our answer as well. May God strengthen us this Christmas season and always to respond in faith to him as Mary and so many others have.